He'll take care of you. Amen. Stand with me with your will, if you're willing and able, as we go to the throne of grace. Father God, we come in the precious and we come in the mighty name of Jesus. We come at this time, at this very hour, to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor that is only due to you, O God. So we just thank you, O God, for these that have gathered today, O God. We ask you to touch the sick and afflicted, the weary, the wounded, the tired, O God, even the lazy, O God. We just thank you, O God. We shouldn't let a little rain on the outside stop from coming to feel the rain on the inside, O God. So we ask that your showers of blessings, they will fall down upon us this time, right now. We are in need of a blessing right now, God. Oh, God, there's so many issues and so many problems, so many situations that we face. But we come to the problem solver, oh, God. We come to the provider. We come to the one that's able to fulfill our every need. So, Father, we ask you, bless this house, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are on vacation, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, oh, God. We just thank you for these that are here under the sound of my voice, oh, God. So I ask that you use this voice, oh God. It's crying out in the wilderness. And all the praise, the glory, and honor, it belongs to you, oh God. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Amen. I give honor to God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the elders here on the rostrum with me, the elders, the missionaries, saints, and friends, wherever you are. Amen. As a fellow soldier in the work of the Lord. Amen. I had a altogether different message that I was intending to speak. I was going to continue on from last week. Last week's message was we hear about God, but now that we've seen him. But as I was last night, we was at the Living Gospel, and it just didn't seem like that's what the Lord wanted to say, to continue. And so then I know why now the message was changed. And I'll give you the title as we get into it. But I want to open up with the reading from Micah 6. Micah chapter 6. Yes. I guess our videographer is out today and everybody's out and this and that, but we're going to move on anyway. Yes. Hallelujah. We can't let nobody stop God. Amen. Right. Least of all, can we stop him? Right. Micah 6 from the New American Standard Version.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to read verse 1 through 3, and then I'll come back and fill the rest later. Amen. Mm-hmm. Micah 6 and 1 said, "Hear now what the Lord is saying. Arise. Plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Listen, you mountains, to the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. Even with Israel, he will dispute. My people, what have I done to you, and how have I wearied you? Answer me." Amen. The last time I preached this sermon was about 15 to 20 years ago. And it just rang in my spirit for some reason this morning, because I had given Andrew about Jonah, and Jonah just thinking he had a right to be angry with God. And so when I thought about that, and this morning I was saying, well, then Lord changed it. So what is Jonah? It just kept popping up, Jonah, Jonah. So then I said, look back in the archives, and God said, here you go, right here. Because God has a controversy with his people.
Uh-huh.
See, the people, God called the people and asked them, he said, why are you weary of God's worship? Why are you prone to idolatry? He said, sin causes the controversy between God and man. God reasoned with us to teach us to reason with ourselves. See, God requires of us as his people certain things. To continue on in Micah 6, the sixth verse said, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings? With yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8 said, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. And humiliation, amen, we were talking about on last night. The voice of the Lord will call to the city, and his sound wisdom to fear his name. Hear, O tribe, who has appointed its time. Verse 10 says, is there yet a man in the wicked house, along with the treasures of wickedness and a short measure that is cursed? Can I justify wicked scales and a bag of deceptive weights? For the rich men of the city are full of violence. Her residents speak lies, and her tongue is deceitful in their mouth. So also I will make you sick, striking you down, desolating you because of your sins. You will eat, but you will not be satisfied. And your vileness will be in your midst. You will try to remove for safekeeping, but you will not preserve anything. And what you do preserve, I will give to the sword. You will sow, but you will not reap. You will tread the olive, but will not anoint yourself with oil. And the grapes, but you will not drink wine. See, God has not only made it known, but he's made it plain. The good which God requires of us is not the paying of a price for pardon of sin and acceptance with God, but he requires us to love him. Yes. What in that is unreasonable? Mm-hmm. What in that is hard? There's nothing hard in that. Nothing. If we are to walk comfortably with him, every thought within our mind must be brought into obedience to him. Yes. If God has a controversy with his people today, it's because we are selfish. Mm-hmm. Our main preoccupation is with self. Because with every new proposal, every new opportunity, with every new endeavor, the first thing we want to know is, what about me? What's it worth to me? How will this affect me? What do I get out of the deal? How will it impact my pocket? How will it impact my position? How will it impact my future? If God has a controversy with his people today, it's because there's a lack of concern for our brethren. The time was when men did great works, suffered terrible injustices, undertook grand endeavors for the benefit of mankind, for the general good of men. If God has a controversy with his people, it's because there's too little conviction that the world has become one. There's too little recognition of our common humanity and our common destiny with all people of the world. And whatever happens eventually to them will eventually affect us. There's too little recognition that our fate is bound up with his fate. Not faith, fate. There's too little recognition that if God has a controversy with us, we can only go to him to solve the controversy. See, it's this lack of solidarity. It's this lack of oneness that has infiltrated and affected his called out people, the church. That's why we have some that just sit back home and say, I don't need to go today. It's raining outside. Any excuse to keep him from out of the being in the house of God, in the presence of his people. But see, God has chosen a people out of all the people of the world and given them a mission to come together and to impact the world for Christ's sake. Yes. That same lack of love and concern is so prevalent in the world, it has reached epidemic proportions even in the church. If God has a controversy with his people, it's because there's little corporate sense, too little conviction that we need to depend on one another. If God has a controversy with his people, it's that we seem to have forgotten that we are our brother's keeper. We forget that we are members one of another, and when one suffers, all the members suffer with it. If God has a controversy with his people, it boils down to a clash of wills. The church is willfully unconscious to the will of God. God has called us to wake up, to arise out of our stupor. He's calling us to repent and to call on him to lift us up out of the dust us off, and put us back into service. All right. For our object lesson today, we will look at Jonah chapter 1. The book of Jonah has been a subject of much controversy and scrutiny. The question has been asked, why is it included if in it there's no prophecy in it? Why is it included? Unless you want to classify the warning of destruction coming on as prophecy, then we can say that is prophecy. But what it does show is the extent of God's love and his mercy. It has been debated whether it is a book of history or a book of fantasy. And in some schools of thought, it has been declared to be a parable. But Jonah is not just a fish story. No. What we have in Jonah is a narrative that will be found nowhere else in the Holy Writ. Yes, sir. It tells the story of a prophet in direct disobedience and defiance to the will of God. Right. However you classify it, it's included in the canon of scripture for a reason. Mm-hmm. Neither is it confined to the date of its writing, estimated between 400 and 200 BC. It speaks to us right here today, this very moment. Romans 15:4 said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. See, it's there, Jonah, to show that God's arms are outstretched and will forgive the most vile and the most wicked of sins. The word of the Lord for this house today is, with all the trouble going on, with all the storms raging, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, Repent and call on your God.
Yeah.
And that's the title of the message. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise. Repent and call on your God. For the benefit of those who may be unfamiliar with the story, or perhaps it has been a long while since you rehearsed it, let's read Jonah chapter 1. Okay. Amen. Well, I guess I got, let's see, I didn't have it in here. Let me go, let's see, let me flip script, switch reels, as Brad Pye used to say. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read it in its entirety. You can just follow along. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. And he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whom cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what of the what people art thou? Where you come from, fellow? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord,
yes,
the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then men were exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them.
Yeah.
I'm the reason. But nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought, and it was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done it as pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging.
Yes, sir.
Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. He said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah.
Yes.
And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights.
Mm-hmm.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. So what meanest thou? So what are you trying to say to us today, Bishop? Why are you charging us, or why are you giving us this message today?
Mm-hmm.
You see, because a lot of us don't understand.
Yeah.
A lot of us think we can do anything, worship God any way we want to,
mm-hmm.
come to service if we want to,
mm-hmm.
anyhow we want to.
Mm-hmm.
But see, as we've been saying and studying the past few months, that we need to have that encounter with God. We need to be able to understand God's voice. We need to be able to know when God is telling us to do something. We should have asked God, what would you have us to do? We should have asked God, where would you like me to work? Put me to work. As the young man said last night, he just got in and got to work. It didn't matter what he did, he's just working. And see, that's what we should be like. No matter what God calls us to do, we got to be willing to put our hand to the plow and not turn back. We need to be willing that, as Elisha did, burn everything up and go forward and go along with what God has prescribed for us to do. See, God had given Jonah a charge to be a witness to wicked Nineveh. But Jonah did not want to do what God called him to do. He had his own mind. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. So when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, Jonah did the opposite of what God wanted him to do. God sent him one way, but he chose to go the opposite way. He chose to live his life as he saw fit. He chose to do what he wanted to do. He chose to think only about himself. He could care less about the people of Nineveh. He could care less about them because he hated them. He did not have the same mind toward them that God had toward them. And it speaks to us today. Let me back up. I don't get ahead of myself yet. God sent a storm after him because he decided he wanted to do his own thing. And see, but what happened when that storm came upon Jonah, it endangered the livelihood of all those that were on board the ship along with him. See, when God has a controversy with you, you're on dangerous ground. See, Jonah is the embodiment of any man or woman who travels in direct disobedience to the will of God, causing storms to brew. And when you're trying to get away from God, bills get behind. When you're trying to not do according to the will of God, and God comes after you, husbands and wives separate. When God comes after you, homes become houses. Joy turns into mourning. When trying to get away from God, peace becomes confusion. Death starts creeping in. When God comes after you, sicknesses attack your body. When God comes after you, churches become buildings. Preachers can't preach right. Choirs can't sing right. Saints can't shout right. Sinners can't join right. When God comes after you, you're on dangerous ground. You see, now Jonah is not just a prophet who lived long ago. We've got a whole lot of Jonahs right here today. Jonah in the 21st century is still riding the ship. Although he's changed ships. He's gotten off the ship going to Tarshish, and now he's riding on a ship called church membership. Jonah is not necessarily a man. Jonah disguises himself so that we in the church don't know who Jonah is. Sometimes Jonah can be a young, pretty woman. Sometimes Jonah might be a young Christian still wet behind the ears. Sometimes Jonah can become the old seasoned saint. Sometimes Jonah might be that young, handsome stud. Jonah could be any one of us here today. For all we know, Jonah might have opened the service with prayer. For all we know, Jonah might have led the praise and devotion this morning. For all we know, Jonah might have ushered you in and showed you to your seat. Jonah might have emceed the service. Jonah might be sitting here in the pulpit. And for all you know, it might even be Jonah up here preaching. Jonah rides the ship called church membership, causing storms to brew. I'm convinced we got a whole lot of Jonahs on board today. And our little ship of Zion is in the midst of a storm. So let's look a little closer at how they handle their storm so we may see ourselves in comparison. The storm is raging. The wind is blowing. The ship is rocking and reeling, being tossed to and fro. The captain's first impulse is to ride off the storm. Don't you hear him saying everything will be all right? We can work a little harder and row through this thing. He issues the order. All hands on deck. All hands on deck. All men, man your posts. And the sailors grab their oars and they begin to row. They rowed and they rowed. They rowed and they rowed. But the more they rowed, the more the wind blowed. They lost control. The little ship was tossed and rocked. Billows crashed over the bow. The captain said, maybe if we lighten the load, we'll rise a little higher and the waves won't be so rough. Let's throw all the heavy cargo overboard. So they began to throw valuable necessities like food overboard, medicines overboard. Valuable necessities overboard. But they didn't realize was that it wasn't the cargo that was heavy. It was Jonah. You see, Jonah. You see, cargo doesn't form cliques and schisms in the body, but Jonah does. Cargo doesn't break up churches, but Jonah does. Cargo doesn't gossip and spread rumors, but Jonah does. Cargo doesn't put down the preacher, but Jonah does. Cargo doesn't break up churches, but Jonah will. That's the same mistake the church is making today. Can't you see? We've thrown valuable necessities overboard. Church ain't like it used to be. That fellowship that used to flow from heart to heart, from breast to breast, we've thrown it overboard. I was glad when I said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Where is it? Overboard. Valuable necessities like Sunday school. Overboard. Hallelujah. Prayer and Bible band. We've thrown it overboard. Sunday night worship. Overboard. Tithing. Overboard. Choir rehearsal. Overboard. Respect for the house of God. We've thrown it overboard. Intercessory prayer. We've thrown it overboard. We can care less about anybody but ourselves. We've thrown everybody else overboard. Outside fellowships. We've thrown it overboard. Respect for the house of God. We've thrown it overboard. The things that make the church, we've thrown them overboard. So they rode. And they rode. After they threw all these valuable cargoes overboard, the captain says, I've been through many a storm, but I've never seen one like this. It must be something supernatural. It must be something spiritual. It must be something divine about this storm. So he goes back and calls all hands on deck, all hands on deck. We ain't making no progress. Something's going wrong. So the sailors drop their oars and they rush to the captain. The captain says, this is not a natural storm. Stop rowing and start praying. Hallelujah. So they all got to praying. And then a sailor comes up. Aye, aye, captain, sir. I was down in the hole looking for stuff to throw overboard. And I came across this fellow in the back. In the dark, undercover, asleep. Ain't that something? Jonah was asleep. Storm raging. Jonah slept. Not a care in the world. Wind blowing. Jonah slept. Cargo overboard. But Jonah slept. Everybody praying. But Jonah slept. The waves lashed. The ship rolled. And Jonah slept. The same thing is going on with the church. Here we are in the midst of a storm, and yet the church is asleep. Waves are crashing over the bar. Jonah is asleep. The mainsail is ripped. But Jonah's asleep. Hallelujah. The mast is overstressed. And what are we doing about it? Nothing. Because Jonah's asleep. Souls are hurting. Sin is running rampant, and yet Jonah is asleep. So the captain went down and asked him, man, what you doing down here asleep? Don't you know the storm is in a rage? Don't you know the ship is about to sink? Don't you know the church is hurt because of your lack of commitment? Don't you understand that what we do together helps us all? How can you be asleep with all this rocking, with all this rolling? Everybody on board is praying, but you're down here, sleep. How can you sleep? Arise and call on your God.
Yes, sir.
Maybe your God will answer and save us out of this trouble. See, because they all had different gods, just like in a church today. We say Jesus is our Lord. But if you look at your lifestyle, if you look at your activity, we find out that maybe he's just not your Lord, because you still do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. That's how I can say he's not your Lord. Because if Jesus was your Lord, you'd be here through rain and storm. You'd be here sometime in wintertime. You'd be here though the roads may be blocked. You still find some way to get to the house of God. So God is not your Lord. Quit lying. With all this rocking going on, he's asleep. But Jonah didn't move. The captain continues, what's your name? Where do you come from? Why are you not calling on your God? Why are you not doing what God has called you to do? Can't you see the church needs your testimony? Can't you see the church needs your gifting? Can't you see the church needs your prayer? Can't you see the church needs your hands to help lift the ship? So then, captain said, well, what is the cause of this trouble? Why are you not doing what your God has told you to do? So Jonah answered, and you got to give him credit for this. If you want the storm to stop, throw me overboard. See, Jonah fessed up and said, I am the cause of the trouble. See, when trouble comes and storm clouds rise in our lives, how many of us, or not many of us, are willing to admit that we are the cause of the trouble? The captain didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. The pastor tries to keep you involved in the church, keep you coming to church, keep you active in the work of the Lord, because he knows there will be a strength in it to help not only you, but it help others in the church that need your testimony, that need your gifting. So the captain said, no, well, we ain't going to throw you overboard. See, captain knew that if he threw him overboard, he would die. Pastor knows if he throw you overboard, you're lost. Like a sheep without a shepherd. Pastor knows the devil will beat you up and tear you limb from limb. So he doesn't want to throw you overboard. And so they went back to rowing, trying to make the land. Church went back to praying, trying to get you to repent. Church went back on your behalf, petitioning God, say, God, give him another day. Let your grace fall upon him. Give him another chance. But see, a lot of times, the storm grows worse. See, because as much as we pray for you, you have to pray for you.
Amen.
As much as we intercede for you, you have to intercede for yourself. We have too many people coming to the church, y'all pray for me, when they're not praying themselves.
Yeah.
Too many want to do the work for them so they can just reap the blessing and receive the glory.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get out of that.
Yeah.
We got to recognize we are one body. And when one suffer, we all suffer.
Amen.
When one is in pain, we all are in pain.
Mm-hmm.
So when the trouble comes, we need to turn. We need to turn and repent and do what Jonah would refuse to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, God wants us to throw Jonah overboard.
Mm-hmm.
See, we look around and try to make excuses as why church attendance is down, why the choir doesn't sing the way it used to, why the bills are piling up, and we want to blame the captain. Or if we don't blame the captain, we blame the crew. How many of you are willing to look deep in your heart of hearts and recognize, as Jonah did, and confess, it's not the captain's fault. It's not the crew's fault. It's my fault. When are you going to recognize that things are the way they are because God has a controversy with you? Because you have gone your own way and not the way God wants you to go. So when the word of the Lord came to Jonah to go to Nineveh, he refused and went down into the bottom of the ship. Went the opposite way of what God told him to go.
Yes, sir.
Did the opposite thing of what God told him to do.
Yes.
So instead of going to Joppa, he bought a ticket to Tarshish.
Yes.
Notice when Jonah began to buck against the will of God and he turned away from the way of God, from that point on, every forward step he made was a downward step. He went down to Joppa, the scripture says. He went down to the ticket office and bought a ticket.
Yes.
Then he went down to the harbor. He went down to the ship. He got on board, and he went down into the hold of the ship. Then when he got down to the belly of the fish, he went down again. The fish took him down to the bottom of the sea. Down, down, down. And as we look around, everything around us is going down. The joy of fellowship is going down. The joy of community is going down. Have we looked at ourselves and say, I just might be the cause of the problem? I'm not praying the way I used to. I'm not fasting. What is that? Fast what? Tired? What's that? I thank God that we are doing as well as we're doing for the people that we have that are committed, but it's all because of the grace of God. Amen. He's the only reason we're still here today. It's not that I'm so good or I'm so pretty and none of that stuff. It's not that. It's not that. Hey, it's not that I'm the best preacher in the world. No, it's not even that I'm the best prayer in the world. Not that I'm the best speaker in the world. But I'm here just because God has pointed me to be here and do what God has called me to do. So you can always find somewhere that's better than here, that has more equipment than here, that's more skilled than what we have here. But will that help you? But when you go there and just sit down,
yeah.
See, and refuse to do what God, see, this we could actually look at this as a training station, which is the way I look at it.
Yeah.
See, when you come here, we give you something to do.
Yeah.
And as you perfect your gift, if God tells you to go somewhere else, then we've done our part.
Yeah.
I'd like you to stay here,
yeah.
But we have many come through and keep continuing on. We have many come through and perfect their gift and go on and be blessed somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I don't look down on that. Because if they were meant to stay here, they would still be here.
Amen.
So as they come through, I just let them pass and say, God, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Maybe I can't handle that many people. Because,
yeah.
Lee, I didn't want to handle none. I couldn't even handle myself. So as they come through, I just give them what I can give them and say, God bless you and strengthen you. Let the sun shine on you wherever you go. Let the spirit flow through you. Just be a blessing wherever God takes you.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad when they come through and leave.
Yeah.
I'm just mad that I'm glad that. No. Freudian slip. With Freudian slip. I'm just glad they came for a season. Yeah. But see, when we're doing contrary to the will of God, when God has a controversy with us, you know, participation is down. Our praying is down. We hear down. We talk down. We speak down. Some of us are even low down. Just down. Down, down. But it's time for us to stop our downward trend and look up to God.
Amen.
He says, arise.
Yes,
repent and call on your God. Don't you hear him calling your name?
Yes.
Are you going to answer that call of God? Are you going to say, Lord, I may not be much, but what I am and what you've given me, I'm willing to lay it down for your sake. I'm willing to put it down on an altar. See, because my life in my hands is worth nothing.
Yes.
My speech is worth nothing. My intellect is worth nothing in comparison to what God has in store for us. If we would just arise, repent, and turn to our God.
Amen.
Don't you hear him calling? Don't you hear him saying, I still love you. Even though you're going contrary to what I told you to do. You're doing the exact opposite of where I told you to go. But I still love you. My arms are still outstretched. Say, come, and I'll cure you. Come, I'll heal you. Come, I'll deliver you. Come, I'll set you free. That's what he's telling us today. See, it's time for us to throw Jonah overboard. And I'm basically done. That's all God gave me to say. See, but what we need to do is take a look at ourselves. Where am I? Have I bought my ticket to Tarshish? Have I boarded the ship? Are you on the ship? Yeah, you're on church membership. Your name is on the roll, but are you on the ship? Are you on board is the question. Are you doing what God called you to do? Did you hear his voice and say, I need you to go to Joseph and Jacob and pray. I need you to be in the fellowship. I need you to give more than you ever given before. I need you to spend time with the fellowship of the saints, not standing by yourself thinking you can make it without church. I looked at it on TV. Are you using your gifts? God created you for worship. He created you for praise. He created to get something out of you that you're not getting if you're sitting at home watching it on TV.
All right.
I can understand if you're sick. I can understand if you can't make it out. I can understand if you laid flat on your back and all you can do is look up. I can understand that. But if you've got the ability to walk, to talk, to do it, there's many things you can do, but are you doing it for the glory and honor of God? We all get weary sometimes. We all say, let's throw in the towel. We all want to throw stuff overboard. I'm no different than you. I want to throw stuff overboard too. But there's something down on the inside. Something that tells me to keep on moving. Something that tells me you're all right as long as you're in the ship. Because you got Jesus on board, you can make it through every storm. With Jesus on board, you can make it through every trial. With Jesus on board, I can make it through every situation, through every struggle. Come whatever, come what may, I can make it because God is on my side.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And I don't need nobody telling me that that's good enough.
Yeah.
I might.
Thank you, Lord.
See, I could get discouraged if I listen to what people say. But I learned to listen to the voice of God. The Lord told me that I got a charge to keep. I got a God to glorify. And no matter what comes, no matter who goes, I'm going to stand my post. I'm going to stand strong. Hallelujah. That's our theme scripture. Stand. When you've done all you can do, just stand. When you've given your life, just stand. And don't worry. Woo! Don't worry about what's behind you. Let them talk about you. Let them put you down. Let them say you no good. Let them say you're worthless. But as I told you last week, I'm more valuable than anything. The value that God placed on me, that he would give his son, that I could be forgiven, that I could be set free. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, all that he wants to do through me, I can't help but say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Here I stand, Lord. Use me. Here I am, Lord. Whatever you say, I'm willing to say. Whatever you tell me to go, I'm willing to go. I laid it all down on the altar. I demonstrated physically a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I laid myself down and I said, Lord, burn me up. Burn everything up that's not like you. Is there anything in me that shouldn't be? Burn it up right now, Lord. See, we all it should have been done.
Yeah.
But as I told you, you went back, searched, sifted through those ashes. Don't go back through the ashes. It's burnt up. It's gone. You can't find it. If you really gave it, But if you withheld something, then you should have given that up too. If you withheld what God told you to give up, then it's still on the inside. You got another chance, because God's grace and his mercy is new every morning. Just like he turned around Jonah. I can't get to the part where Jonah got angry because God didn't do what he thought he should do. Some of us get angry because God don't do what we think God ought to do. But I'm not one of those. If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, I'm going to stand. If God said it, I'm going to do it. No matter who goes with me, no matter who stays behind, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm stepping forward to what God has in store for me. And if you're alone with me, we ought to stand this thing together. We ought to get on board together. Instead of rowing against the tide, we need to row with Jesus. And wherever he says row, put your oar in the water and pull. Put your oar in the water, pull back until we start to go forward, looking ahead, not looking back. Oh, we lost a lot of loved ones this year, but we made it. Funeral after funeral, but we are still here. See, we can't look back and say, mama's gone now, daddy's gone now, sister's gone now. See, you still have a God to glorify. No matter what's happened, what's going on in your life, you are still here. God still wants to use you. He hasn't given up. Don't throw it overboard. Load it up. Load it up. Get in time with the Spirit. Spirit moving right now. Are you in the flow? Get in the flow. Let us step in together. Step by step. Let us be arm in arm. For God I live. For God I die. I'm here to declare the works of the Lord. And no matter what comes against me, I will stand. Strong. I will stand. And God said I can do it. He said don't worry about it. I got your back. They may throw stones at you. They may shoot arrows at you, but look forward. Keep on stepping.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's
Amen.
What we got to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, yeah, we've lost a lot this year.
Yes,
but those that had Jesus Christ, we know that we'll see him again.
Praise the Lord.
They may have been gone from this side, but there's another side. And if we are faithful, we will make it to the other side. If they were faithful, they have already made it to the other side. So the best we can do is continue to get ourselves together to do what God has called us to do. Say, Lord, I don't want to be left behind. When the road is called up yonder, I will be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere. Say, Master, here I am. Call me up. I'm ready to go. Whatever you have for me to do, I'm willing to do. So when this life is over, I got a God that's told me that he loved me. And so I don't care what anybody say. You can call me whatever you want. You can say, you ain't this, you ain't that. I know it. I ain't got that ego. I don't have the ego. But I just want to be known as a child of God. I just want God's blessings to flow through me.
Yes.
So that I can touch somebody else.
Amen.
To impact this world. To make a difference. He didn't have to call me to preach. Because, matter of fact, I was like Jonah. I ran.
Yes.
The only thing, I didn't get angry with God. I refused to do what God said for a long time. It took me a long time to settle down and say, okay, God, I guess I'm going to do what you want to do, what you want me to do. I guess, okay, you know more than I do. So I'm not one to question God. When God tells me something, although I may not understand, I might even disagree with it.
Yes, sir.
But I'm not going to let that hinder me from doing what thus says the Lord.
Amen.
Because many of us, now I got to tell this again. Y'all probably forgot it already. But when we was in that discussion, and the deacon brother said to me, he said, I don't agree with you. I said, that's okay. I don't agree with God all the time either. And I wasn't saying that to be arrogant or nothing.
No.
Because I heard myself say it before it came out of my mouth. See, what was happening, God was showing me that you don't agree with everything I say. And that became more real to me than anything he could have told me. I had to be honest. I don't agree with everything you say. I disagree with a lot of things that God says. But I don't know why God does what he does and the way he does it and how he does it. I don't understand that. But I told them, some of the people looked at me funny when I told them at St. Paul. They looked at me, was crazy, thought I had lost my mind. I said, no, but you don't do everything that God tells you to do. And I could back it up by scripture. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yeah.
My ways are not your ways. Neither can it be. Because we don't know everything that God has in store.
Yes,
so with our little bit of understanding, our little bit of knowledge he gave us, who are we to contradict what God said?
That's right.
Who are we to say, I don't want to do what you told me to do? Who are we to judge God? I told you last week, he read Job the Riot Act. Where were you? Where were you when I created the earth? Where were you? Wasn't even thought of. So who would I be to disagree with God and do my own thing? There are too many of us doing our own thing and not doing what God has called us to do. See, that's what we need to be doing. Those that are not here today, we need to call them up. Not convicting them. Just tell them, we missed you today.
Yeah.
We needed you today. See, because every hand that claps lifts the spirit. Every amen lifts the spirit. Every hallelujah gives praise to God. So it doesn't matter whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you just come to pick up the trash. Every time you gather in this house, God can bless you, can change you, can lift you up, turn your life around.
Yes.
But you got to believe that what he says, he means. And he means what he says. Let us all stand. I'm done. See, because we got to throw Jonah overboard. We got to recognize the Jonah in our life. See, I don't want you going around saying, are you Jonah? Are you Jonah? Are you Jonah? No, you better get that man in the mirror. Look at that man in the mirror. And ask him, are you Jonah? Are you causing the turmoil in the church? Are you causing the situation that's going on in the church? Are you causing the church to struggle? Are you signing up when we go out to canvas the neighborhood to do these door hangers? Are you willing to go? Or you got excuses already? You already lined up your excuse. Well, I can't walk that far. Get your bike. Skates. Skates. Sheree said, give me some skates. Get your walker. Who said that, Dick? Get your walker. But see, cause like I said, we got to be willing to do it. Who knows if you get out there, you can't walk that far. God may extend them steps, and next thing you know, there's no pain. See, like my leg been bothering me for almost a year, but it ain't bothering me right now. Right now, I don't feel no pain.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing what God called you to do, he moves everything out of the way to enable you. Say, I will put no more on you than you're able to bear. So if you be willing and obedient, you can reap the goodness of the Lord. If we be willing and obedient, this morning is going to be burned. We need, how many, 10 more teams? How many teams we got signed up already?
Three solid teams.
See, we're gonna accomplish this goal.
Yeah.
We're gonna burn this mortgage. We have to have it done by August.
Yeah.
And all we need is $6,000 for 12 teams, and we can do it.
Yeah.
12 teams to raise $6,000.
Yeah.
Total 72. But that's the overflow.
Yeah.
Once it's paid off, then we all have the groundwork so we can go out into this community and not just be able to give them food, but be able to give them other things. Maybe offer the homeless somewhere to come. Maybe set up a bathroom or something. Who knows what God will lead us to do once we accomplish this thing. But we got to do this first. We got to show God we believe in by faith. We're going to do it. By August, it's going to be done. So we get 12 people, teams, 12 teams, to raise $6,000. It'll be done, and we don't have to worry about it no more. Then we can do some real ministry. We can do some real help. We'll be providing some much-needed resources. We'll be able to do what God calls us to, have a concern and a care for our brethren. See, that's what I open up with. The controversy God has with us is that we're too self-involved, too self-consumed, too self-willing to do what we want to do. I'm only worried about our concerns. But we got to get outside these four walls. As I say, when I go down to the city council, when doing all these meetings, I'm representing you. I need somebody to come along with me. I shouldn't be the only one to go to the city council meetings. I shouldn't be the only one to go to the prayer. Well, I think you guys all support us in the prayer breakfast.
Yeah.
But then the Veterans Day celebration, when they called me to come down and do that,
yeah.
I'm glad to be of service.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be there.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be for the mayors and council people and all this stuff like that.
Yeah.
But see, I never thought I'd go to Korea representing Jesus Christ. But all these things that God put me in a place to be, I just told him, I said, Lord, whatever you say. Was I scared? Was I nervous? Was my knees knocking? Was my voice quivering? But I still did it. Because God was the one that empowered me. See, it's not me that stands. When I stand before anybody, even right now, I told you, I dropped my speech class because I didn't want to stand in front of 25 peers.
Yes.
Now I stand before all these people, go all these places, and not afraid because I'm not speaking for me.
Yes.
Now, if I speak for myself, I might not go.
Yes.
But if I'm speaking for God, then God's going to give me what to say. I'm sorry, I'm running on. I called you guys up. If you want to come to the altar, you come on in and pray. But it's just, we got to have a trust in God. The thing that we laid down on that altar 3 weeks ago or whatever it was, that we said, God, burn it up. Make sure it's still there. You didn't come back to get it. You left it down there. You didn't come back and sift through those ashes and say, but I need this. That broken heart, you got to let it go. Leave it down there. That shame, leave it down there. Whatever it is, you got to let it go. Lift your hands and surrender. Whew. Say, Lord, I give myself to you. Everything. You should be saying it right now. If you know that song, that should be your thought right now. I'm giving everything I have to you. I'm completely leaning and dependent on you. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm in your hands. Put me back on the Father's will. Reshape me. Remake me. Remold me into what you would have me to do. Where you would have me to go. How you would have me to represent you. That's what we're here for.
I go out
and I call on their asses today to tell them you really miss me. We miss you. Tell them what God did for you.
Myself
you came in and I wanted to surrender, but you ended up lifting your hands and said, Lord, take all of me. I lay myself down at your feet.
I said,
create me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit down on the inside. Behold, I'm at your
command.
Lord, start the prayer should be praying right now, Lord. You know what I need. You know everything that I struggle with. You know, every situation that's rising in my life.
Give myself,
and I'm giving that to you. Before I give that to you, I gotta give myself to you. I want you to take all of me. I want you to wash me, clean me up, turn me around, place my feet on the solid ground.
Oh,
on that sure foundation. And though the wind may blow,
no more may rain.
I'm burning pain with my feet in you.
You.
In the name of Jesus. Take my life.